Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everyone doing?
Alive and breathing,
and we are here in person. We are live. Welcome to Resurrection Church, formerly known as Studio Church when we were doing online only. So we're back to Resurrection Church. But we're excited to have people here and excited whoever's watching online. And wow, praise the Lord. I don't know, I miss people, miss seeing people. And so if you have your Bibles today, scripture on the screen. What about, you get technology, you know, we have the technology. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at one verse. Actually, we're going to look at a lot of verses, but one one main verse. We're going to dig in. Matthew chapter 5, we're going through a series called Happy, and it's primarily the Beatitudes, the blessings, oh, happy. Jesus, of course. And the verse we're going to primarily look at is verse 6, but I'm going to read from verse 1. Chapter 5 of Matthew says, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed or happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle or the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say falsely all kinds of things of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now Jesus is teaching his disciples about the principles of the kingdom, and he is teaching on the blessedness or the happiness of the kingdom. And everything he says in these scriptures, in this portion, is complete opposite to the way the world thinks. And so he's causing us to think differently. And the verse that we're going to look at today is the happiness of hunger. The happiness of hunger, which most people would not think is a happy state to be, but of course he's speaking in spiritual terms. My question, this entire teaching today is going to be based around one question. Are you hungry? One question. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for righteousness? Are you hunger and thirst? So people thirst and hunger for all things in life, all kinds of things people are hungry and thirst for. They're hungry to be accepted and loved, or hungry to be known or famous. Some are hungry to be rich, and many people are just hungry to be liked and loved. Some are hungry to be forgiven. Some hunger for the attention of fame and meaning and purpose, relationships. We all have some sort of hunger. But what are you hungry for? Are you hungry? God fulfills all true hunger, all true spiritual hunger. We were made in the image of God, and we were made to find our fulfillment in God. In fact, the earliest chapters in the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, man, Adam and Eve were placed in the garden for fellowship with God, and there was fulfillment there, great fulfillment. What does it mean? Jesus says, you know, to be hunger and thirst for righteousness. What are we hungry for? Let's talk about, because in the people he's talking to, they would have known hunger. In fact, many people in biblical times and today as well knew true hunger. You have people in the Old Testament, there was such bad hunger, such bad famine, that mothers would eat their children. Second Kings talks about a famine so severe that a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. and the dung of a dove was sold for 5 shekels of silver. I don't know what you would do with dove's dung, but hunger, right? Great hungry, hunger. The word here is, blessed are those who are, it's a present active participle, blessed are those who are hungering, who are continuing to hunger and thirsting. In fact, he doesn't just say hunger, he says hunger and thirst. And at such extent that you need something to live, right? You need, it's not if you skip a meal, right? Some of you guys get hungry. How many of you guys get hangry if you miss a meal? If you miss breakfast, you get hangry, right? You don't want to be around this person because they get hangry if you miss. You're talking about missing many, many meals. And you're talking about hunger where there's a strong, it speaks of it, a strong desire. The word here in Greek is panao. It means a strong desire, a strong urge to pursue something, a thirst. It says in Matthew, or in Luke, actually Luke 4 rather, when in Matthew 4 as well, when Jesus, Matthew 4, when Jesus fasted 40 days, it says, then he became hungry. And that's the point where he became susceptible to the temptation. And of course, that's when the tempter came. But after 40 days, you're in a very dangerous zone. You better eat something soon, or else you're going to pass the point of no return. Then he became hungry. That's how much hunger. That's what Jesus is talking about. Are you hungry? Is there that intense desire? There's that thirst. It's not just missing the big morning snack or missing your coffee or missing your, you know, it is something that unless you get something in your system, you're not going to live, right? Few of us have ever had that hungry, but this is a hunger and a thirst for something else, not just for food. It is for something else. It is a spiritual hunger that Jesus is talking about. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? What will do? This is a spiritual hunger that is consistent, it is continual, it is a longing, it will keep going and going. It's a thirst for righteousness. See, in America, here's what happens. In America, we say our prayers, we accepted the Lord, right? We say our prayers, and then we think we hit the checkbox that we're going to heaven, and that's it. That's what we think about. We say our prayer, we're going to heaven, I'm fine, that's all life's all about. But Jesus says eternal life is not just something you go into heaven. Jesus says eternal life is now, right? Now is the kingdom of heaven. In fact, he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, Father. Eternal life isn't just a place, it's a relationship. That doesn't just begin in heaven, it begins now. How hungry are you? Are you hungry? What are you hungry for? I mean, the hunger and your thirst for righteousness, what does that mean? What's the content of the hunger? It's righteousness. That's a big word. Okay, what does that incorporate? Righteousness. Well, some people are hungering, thirsting to be right with God. Is that you? Maybe some people watching, maybe something people here. Hungering and thirsting to be right with God. Do you have a hunger to have a right standing with God? You see, the person who becomes poor in spirit is the person who is now ready to receive from God for that hunger. The person who is poor in spirit, it recognizes their utter need for God. That's the place where it begins, right? Those of us who have come to Christ, we start out being hungry just to be right with God. God, I recognize I've gone all the different roads and nothing in life fulfills, and I am hungry for something more. There's got to be more than life than just this, right? You've come to the place where you just... You've spent it. You've come to the place where you realize, just like the prodigal son, that there's got to be more than me eating from the slime of the pigs. There's got to be, certainly there's more to life. And you came to the place, if you're a believer in Christ, where you were hungering to just be right with God, right? No more distractions, distractions in your life where you just ignored what you're really hungry for. You filled yourself with busyness and all this kind of stuff, and you're never hungry for God. Are you hungry to be in the right standing with God? That's where it all begins. That's where the hunger begins. But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus says it continues. I hunger to be right with God. I'm unable to do this on my own. I've tried. I've done religious works. I'm still hungry. It doesn't satisfy. I agree with Isaiah where he says, all of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. I hunger to be right with God. How hungry are you? Are you hungry? Are you dissatisfied? Satisfied with the? I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied. Even as a Christian, I still want to get going. I still want to grow. No amount of washing of me trying to take care of my past, me trying to take care of my sin, will remove the stain of guilt. So some people are at the place where they're coming to God for the first time and they say, I'm hungry, God. I am hungry. And if you believe in Jesus, God says, I will give you my righteousness. I'll give you the righteousness of my son. And your past is washed away. No amount of self-punishment to yourself, no more of self of you putting yourself down, of you flagellating yourself, and you punishing yourself will wash that sins away. But Jesus Christ washes sins away. Amen. Some of us is Jesus is you know he's hunger and thirst. It's hunger and thirst. See, one wouldn't do. Hunger just wouldn't do. You might be hungry, but your thirst, you got water on, right? You're fine. I can live on water. I can fast a little bit. But this is hunger and thirst. They go together. As if Jesus is saying, the longing in your heart has to be more than just. It has to be where that something has to give, right? A hunger, thirst. A thirst where you say, just one drop, just one morsel will, that's nothing else will matter. I need something, God. How hungry are you? Are you hungry? I'm hungry for our church to be filled with the Spirit, right? I'm hungry for people to meet Jesus for the first time. I'm hungry for souls to come to faith. I don't know about you. I'm hungry to learn about God. So is Matthew. He talks about this hunger and this thirst, you know, and he says some people are hungry and thirsty for something new. You wish there was a new nature. You wish you could swap places with people, and you're so hungry because things have gone wrong way. And if I could just hit the reset button, if I could be tall, dark, and handsome and funny, or I can be, you know, have a different, you know, didn't make that, if I can go back in time, I not make the same mistakes I back then, if I can redo it all, right? If I could be another person, right? Jesus says, if you come to me, you are a new creation. I have made all things new. You're hungry for that? Guess what? I made all things. And your past is your past. It's your past. It's buried into the depths of the ocean. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins from me. Jesus says, you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. You used to fish? I'm going to make you different. And some of us have been so hungry and thirsting for God, we didn't realize that God has taken us up out of the miry pit. He has picked us up, and he has cleaned us. He has transformed us that we don't really recognize the translation, and we still hunger for more, right? We hunger. What's the hunger that Matthew is specifically talking about? I think he's specifically talking about a hunger to live righteously. Do you hunger to live righteously? A practical hunger, right? A practical righteousness. Watch this. Do you see in verse 10, he also says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, right? Here in verse 6, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, right? Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because they have that righteousness. See that? They're empty of righteousness in verse 10. Now they have the righteousness, they're being, what's in between? Here's what happens. They have been poor in the spirit, they have mourned over their sins, and God has broken them so that they are meek and gentle, and they hunger for God's righteousness. And here's what God does. He makes them merciful. He makes them peacemakers. He makes them pure of heart. Ah, that's what righteousness looks like, doesn't it? And they become persecuted for that in verse 10. There's a change of heart where God makes you meek and gentle and want to be pure in heart and a peacemaker. Ah. clearly it's personal righteousness. In fact, he says, look at verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Ooh, that's the scribes and Pharisees, they practice religion to the highest extent. I mean, they fasted so many times a week and they did everything by the book except their heart was far from God, right? And God says, Jesus says, your life is going to be lived in such a righteous way that they will look at you and say, wow, we can't compete with that. Do you hunger for that? It's not just doing the motions and showing up and taking the bows and doing the things, right? It's a change of heart. You hunger for that. Are you hungry? In fact, the rest of the Sermon on the Mount is really about what righteous Christian living looks like. In fact, he says in chapter 6, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Hey, there's a righteousness that you do, you practice that. In verse 33 of chapter 6, he says, But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's a practical righteousness. It's the righteousness of Joseph, who was a righteous man who decided to put away Mary by quietly because he didn't want to embarrass her, right? It's that same righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus, who comes to be baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus, who's without sin. John's baptizing sinners. Jesus is without sin. John says, I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus says this. He says this. Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. He does what he doesn't have to do. He seeks to do more righteousness. It's a fitting thing. It's interesting, later in Matthew 25, it talks about the sheep and the goats and those who fed the homeless, or they visited people in prison, right? And they took care of people that were strangers. And that says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give something to drink? These are the righteous who did these things, right? It's a living thing. I hunger and thirst to live like Jesus. I don't know about you, but the goal's still out there, right? Amen? Yeah. I hunger. I want to be. I recognize that I'm not exactly the most peacemaking person. I may not be the most exactly merciful person or gentle person, but I want to grow in that, right? I might not be the most pure in heart person, though I want to be like Jesus, right? I hunger and thirst for that. How about you? See, the person who hungers and thirsts to live righteously realizes that his life doesn't always match his profession, but he wants it to. He recognizes, I have been called by Jesus. I am a Christian, which means like a little Jesus, right? I'm a Christian, which means my life should reflect that of Jesus, that if people saw me, they might mistake me for Jesus because my walk looks like his walk. I recognize I don't do that fully, but I want to, right? It's like back when I was younger, I told us before, my dad would be walking like this, and I would be walking, and people are like, you're your dad's son, right? Because you walk and talk just like your dad, right? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? One who is hungry and thirsts for righteousness hungers to have sin eradicated from his mind, his thoughts, his actions. He recognizes he wants to be pure in heart. He wants to have his life lived with the image of Jesus demonstrated. I hunger to have my pride changed into humility, right? To have my fear changed into faith. That's what I hunger for, right? There's that road. There's this progressive hunger and thirst for righteousness, to live righteously, not in an arrogant way, not in a prideful way, but in a pure way, because you want to grow and be like Jesus, because he is that bottle of water, so to speak, after a long, long, long time of thirsting, and he is your drink. He is your food, right? Amen? Are you hungry? I'm hungry to have my selfish thoughts be put away for selfless thoughts. I'm hungry. How about you? My will to lay down at his will, and he say, your will be done, God. Your plans be done. I hunger to do. I hunger and grow. I was like, Lord, I want to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, bear fruit of love in my life and kindness, right? Because I recognize I want to grow in that. I'm not satisfied. I don't know about you. I'm not satisfied. I desire, long to live with my wife in an understanding way, right? To be godly example to my kids, to learn to love people. I thirst for that. Do you thirst to grow in your walk with the Lord? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? To have those areas of your life conquered, the sinful areas conquered, those thoughts conquered. John says in 1 John, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who also practices righteousness is born of him. The one who is born of Jesus practices righteousness. He wants to grow in that, right? It's his insatiable desire to want to grow, to want to grow. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you want? Hey, it's not just us, me and you, are personally walking with Jesus. We also hunger to see things change in the world, right? We hunger for the world for people to be saved, right? For people to be changed. We long for people to come to know Jesus, right? We long for the rights to be right and the wrongs to be, you know, for justice and all this kind of stuff. For God to be honored, I long and hunger for God to be honored, right? Blessed are those who are, as he says last week, who are gentle or meek, for they will inherit the earth. Someday, as we said last week, the earth is actually all God's, but eventually it'll all come to God. I long to see those who are defenseless be defended. I long to see, to have the, as it says of John the Baptist, he's a voice calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, for people to come to Christ. Some of us have loved ones. We long to have come to Jesus, right? We pray and we pray and we pray and we thirst and we thirst and we pray and we beg and we beg and we wait. We say, when, Lord? And we keep thirsting, keep hungering, keep going. Keep going. See, hunger is a good thing. I'll tell you that in a second. That's a little teaser for later on. You're like, what? Hunger's a good thing. I'll tell you in a second, yeah. I hunger for the day when Jesus will come and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess and everyone submits to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? And that's going to happen. He is letting things play out to show Christ what evil is all about. But someday, it all is going to come to bowing the knee. Evil rulers being changed, perhaps the righteous ones, and being removed, and his loved ones hungering and thirsting for that. I hunger to know God. See, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They hunger to know God. The psalmist says, my soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. He says, I am like, as he says, my soul, I'm like a deer who pants over the water, so my soul pants after you, O God. I thirst for God. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? The camera changed over there, so I have to, you're still there, okay? Are you hungry? My soul longs for you in a parched land. Isaiah says, at night, my soul longs for you. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. God has put that hunger in your heart if you're a believer. God is the one we seek. Oh God, you are my God. Psalm 63 says, I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land. We live in a dry and weary land, don't we? I mean, Arizona, I mean, it's pretty dry. Dry heat, they say, you know, where there is no water. I can't imagine how they figured out how to get water here in Arizona, right? Because there ain't no lakes around here. They're just man-made lakes, you know, and they're just geniuses, you know, of how they, you know, they moved to a wonderful place like Arizona. I hunger and thirst. That's what Jesus says. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Are you hungry? Now, here's a couple things, though, because not all of us are hungry, right? Or not, maybe at one point you were hungry more than you were not are today, right? At one point you were really thirsty, but now you're not so thirsty anymore, right? Life has come to a place where you no longer hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. You've become satisfied with other things, right? You become satisfied with other things. Other things have filled your cup, and you think they quenched your thirst, but they really don't. They just kind of trick you, you know. You were made for Jesus, and only He will quench your thirst. There's a church in the book of Revelation, the church in Ephesus. Jesus says this to that church: I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles. They are so good to testing out who's true, who's false, right? And they're diligent in all that. And that they are not apostles, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance, and you have endured for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. So far, so good, right? This is a church he's talking to. But I have this one thing against you. You've left your first love. See, one who hunger and thirst is thunder, right? One who hungers and thirsts for God is entirely searching for God. Nothing else will satisfy. Some have become so caught up in defending God, they forgot that they have abandoned God. You lost track of what you're aiming for. That's Christ-likeness. It's the danger of becoming satisfied with yourself and satisfied with your own goodness, satisfied with your own, and thinking that that is going to fulfill and that nothing else. I got my ticket to heaven, but forget about that. It is growing and thirsting after Jesus. I don't know about you. We're going to spend eternity in heaven, praise God, learning and growing in Jesus, right? That tells me how big God is, right? See, some of us stop hungering and thirsting because God has become so small and manageable, right? He has become like a little idol, like, and he is just, we sort of just carry him around, and we feed him, and we think we know what he wants to do, but God is so much greater. We will spend eternity learning of God. That blows my mind, because we're pretty smart creatures, right? We figure things out. We get bored if we figure things out too fast. And okay, next thing, you know, and some of us who play video games, some I don't play them, but some of our kids who play video games, right? And you've reached all of the levels, right? And you're looking for the secret passages and the secret things, and you're breaking the codes, and you're doing all this, because you get bored with it because you figure it out. Guess what? God will never be searched out completely. Be careful of thinking that it's that fulfillment, that you've reached the end of what there is to know about God. If you're at a place where you're stopped thirsting and hungry, maybe because your God is too small. Maybe you've tried to manage God into your own image. Now, here's the obvious question I'm going to ask, okay? Why? Why are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness blessed, right? Why are those who hunger and thirst blessed? Because to me, it looks like not such a good thing. I want to eat, I want to drink, and I don't want to go without so much, right? But why are those who hunger and thirsting for righteousness blessed? Why are they happy, right? I've got like 10 reasons. First reason, first of all, having a hunger and thirst for righteousness means that there's life. There's spiritual life. If you have a hunger and a thirst for God, it means you are alive spiritually. You know that. Dead things don't have hunger and thirst, do they? But if you're alive and you have a hunger and a thirst, it means there's life. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. That's why spiritually dead people, they don't hunger and thirst for righteousness. They hunger and thirst for themselves, right? They don't hunger for God. And you can't create that hunger. That has to be God sent to them. So if you are hungry and thirsting for more of God, for more of holiness in your life, that's good. You're spiritually alive. Praise God. That hunger is from God. Second reason is hungering and thirsting means that there's growth. It's like everyday life. We eat, we do exercise or walk or work, and we go to sleep, and we eat again. You know, it seems like, you know, 3 meals a day, that's a lot to keep, you know, but then we grow. We get satisfied, but then we want more, right? Blessed are those who continuously hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's life and it grows, right? There's growth. It implies, okay, I'm filled, but Lord, I want more. Okay, I'm filled, I want more, Lord. I want to grow. That's a good thing. Hungering and thirsting means that there's also growth. Those who hunger and thirst are dissatisfied with where they're at, or they've tasted of God and been satisfied and they want more. Ah, it's like that good restaurant, right? There's a restaurant in New Orleans. It's a Emerald restaurant. You know, it's a Delmonico restaurant. I can still taste the steak Diane in my mouth. I want more of that, right? I can still taste it. I mean, there's other restaurants here in town that are good too. I mean, don't get me wrong, just thinking of the steak one. It means we want more. That hunger and thirst, third reason is that hunger and thirst is a gift from God. He puts that in there. He puts that longing for salvation first in your heart, and then he puts that longing into wanting more and more of him in your heart. So you're spiritually alive if you hunger. You're growing if you hunger. Those are good things. And that's a gift from God. That desire to be more like him means you're alive and you're growing and you want more of him. That's a good thing. That's a blessed place to be. God forbid we ever come to a place or meet people who never have that hunger and we're like, you have no idea what you're missing, honey. I'm tasted of God and I want more. I'm hungry for the Lord. I want more. Amen? It is, fourth reason, it is, watch this. Those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed or happy. And they and we don't just hunger for some of it, the righteousness. We hunger for all of it. Watch this. Not for some of God, but for all of God, right? Not just for a little sample at Costco, but the whole meal, right? Though, to be completely longing for more of God and more of Jesus in every area of my life. Here's what's interesting. In the Greek language, the way it's written, it's getting technical here, but normally you would say, I hunger for, you know, some of the bread, let's say. So not the whole loaf, I hunger for a piece of bread. You know, I hunger for, you know, a cup of water, right? The way the Greek is normally written, but here the Greek is written differently. I hunger for the whole thing is what the Greek indicates here. I don't just hunger for, say, my bottle of water. I hunger for all the 5-gallon jugs I have in my house, right? And all of the, I hunger for all of that. That's what the Greek says here. I don't just hunger for a portion of righteousness. I hunger for the whole thing. Which means that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness don't want some of it today and none of it tomorrow. They want for the rest of their being, the rest of their lives to grow and want more, 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 right? That's that hunger. For not just a part of it, but the whole thing. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed because only those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they, see that? It's the second part of my verse. They shall be satisfied. Only those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and all of that, only they will be satisfied. Think about that. Jesus says, he says in John 4, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. I am satisfied. I haven't eaten the physical food, but I am satisfied with doing his work. When he is tempted, he returns the temptation with the scripture where he says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Those who hunger and thirst for satisfaction, they are the ones who will be satisfied. That desire you have will be quenched, will be satisfied if you pursue righteousness. The one who is spiritually alive and hunger and thirst and longs to be less and less like his sinful self and more like Jesus and more like his Savior, he and she is the one will be satisfied. They will be satisfied. You're blessed if you hunger and thirst for righteousness because you'll be satisfied. That's a promise from Jesus. And not only that, we'll flip this around here. They're blessed because it's only the hunger for righteousness that will satisfy. Oh, I just kind of flipped around here, right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Only a hunger and thirst for righteousness will satisfy. And only those who hunger for righteousness will be satisfied. You see that? There's an exclusivity there. This hunger. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Do you want Jesus? All of him or some of him? How hungry are you? There's a famous he's an ultra marathoner, but he was a Navy SEAL. He wrote a book. I think it's David Gibbons. I think his name is, but he Goggins rather, David Goggins. And he was probably butchering his story, but he was very, very overweight, like 300 some odd pounds. And somehow he lost the weight, became a Navy SEAL, and something kind of snapped within him where he was able to take all the really hard training of the SEALs, you know. And he has this insatiable appetite of excellence. And so he started running, and my understanding is he ran 7 weekends in a row, I think it was, of 100-mile races. 100-mile race in one weekend. The next weekend, another 100 miles. And he does that, right? And he pursues this pursuit of, like, it's like, that's my goal, is to no excuses, right? And no excuses for what he pursues that, right? And he pursues this fitness level and this endurance, you know, he's run like 200-mile races, and he's just a beast, right? And I don't think he's a believer, you know, but he's just a beast. And I look at that, and I'm like, he is hungering and thirsting for something, right? And there's nothing that stops him, right? Imagine if we pursued Jesus in that same way. Imagine if Jesus was my hunger and thirst, and that's all I desired is to know him, to be like him, to grow in him in every area. I imagine if we had that hunger where there was no excuses. Here's a person who's not in the kingdom of God who's pursuing and hungering and thirsting for something. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied, and only the hunger of righteousness will satisfy. This longing. See when you're hungry for something, okay? Sometimes pregnant ladies hunger and thirst for something, right? When you're pregnant, you're like, you know, lime jello, or I've got to have lime jello right now, you know, or I've got to get to the store right now, husband, you know, I've got to have it right now, you know. But imagine that you are out in the desert and you're without water for days, and somebody brings up a carton of milk. No, I need water. You become very... You came very focused, right, on that thing. I need water. I don't need invitation. I need water right now. And I'm not going to, no, that's not going to do. That's not going to do. Give me just straight water. And you will not end until you pursue that and find that. That's hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It purifies you. Purifies your motives. Blessed are those who hunger for all the righteous, not just some. they will be satisfied. Here's the reason why. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the real reason why they're blessed is because they will be satisfied. They will be satisfied. Their satisfaction in Christ. They will be filled up. The word here for satisfied, in verse 6, we only got one verse, is a word that means to be filled up. It was used, the verb portion was used to fatten the calf or to feed animals. It means to be stuffed, right? To be, as we say, I am stuffed, right? Give me the extra... I need an extra stomach, you know. I'm so stuffed, I need an extra stomach, you know. It's the word that's used when they had the, when Jesus made the fish and loaves multiply, and it says, and that they all ate and were satisfied, they were stuffed. That's the word there for satisfied. And it's a word that's written, it's called a divine passive. It means that God will, they will be satisfied by God. Ah, God knows our hunger, doesn't he? He satisfies that hunger. He knows where to. He knows. In fact, the psalmist says this, "For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good." You and I, one day, will agree with the psalmist when he says this, that, "For me, as for me, I shall behold your face, Lord, in righteousness, and I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake." We're going to see Jesus and be satisfied. And this whole life is growing in that thirst and hunger and being satisfied. We will be satisfied by God. We'll be satisfied completely and fully, and someday with the vision of God, we will be completely satisfied. And we have been satisfied. That's why we keep coming back for more and more and more and more. I can go on and on and on and on, right? Blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, to live holy, to be like Jesus, to have Jesus in every portion of their life. For they and they alone, and those who hunger for righteousness, they and they alone will be satisfied. No other roads will lead you to satisfaction. Only the road to Jesus Christ leads you to satisfaction. It's a pursuit. It's a thirst. It's a hunger. It's a longing. And it continues. And it continues. And we taste of the Lord. And we grow in the Lord. And we want more of the Lord. And we keep going. It's the only thing that satisfies. What does your heart truly long for? Are you hungry? Do you hunger and thirst for more of God? For more of His righteousness? For more to think holy and to think like Jesus, and to believe, and to have a heart like Jesus. I long. I realize in my own life, I realize I fail in these areas, but I still hunger for it, right? I still thirst for it. And I don't get discouraged because He started this in me. He put that hunger in my heart. Thank you, Lord. And when I go to other things to try to satisfy, I realize I miss out on what my God has made me for. I am hungry. I am hungry, church, for Resurrection Church to be hungry for God. I am hungry that we are thirsty for God. I am hungry that we just don't take this on Saturday or today's Sunday, right? I don't remember what day today is. On Sunday mornings for a couple hours on a Sunday, and that's it. I hunger that we walk every single day, hungry and thirsting for God and seeking Him every single day. And people bump into us and say, "What has gone over you? What have you found? Give me some of that. I have Jesus and I want more of Him." I hunger and thirst to have our church so hungry and thirsty, but yet still filled with Christ. And people say, "I want what you have. I want that Jesus. He's alive. He's real. He's made a difference to you. You're looking actually pretty good. You're feeling, you know, He's fed you. He's satisfied you. No longer are you worried about the past and confused about the future. You're satisfied with Christ." I long for that, for a Resurrection Church to grow in that, because God will answer that prayer. He will satisfy that hunger. That's what He's looking for. He's hungry for that. Are we hungry for Him? C.S. Lewis said in closing, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." If I find in myself a desire, a hunger, a thirst, which no experience in this world can satisfy, the probable explanation is that I was made for another world. I was made to hunger and thirst for God, and so are you. Amen.